الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. وقال تعالى في مقام آخر ومن الليل فتهجد به نافلة لك عسى أن يبعثك ربك مقاما محمودا. صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all creation, none other than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, we remind ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that we have been blessed with the honor of learning about the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. Previously, we spoke about the verse, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, and we have elevated your name for you. And although the influence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon mankind presently and since its initiation from the beginning of time is unfathomable, we will continue to try and explore some prophetic traditions and some sayings of the scholars to try and increase and expand our understanding of this great personality sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in order to do this, inshallah, today I will mention just two things. One is an example that has been very beautifully illustrated by a great scholar of the recent past by the name of Sheikh Abdul Haq Haqqani rahimahullah. He has a book of tafsir, famously known as Tafsir-e-Haqqani. And through this example, he tries to illustrate the influence. And by reading this and understanding this example, it will help us expand our appreciation of the influence and the importance and the significance and the magnanimity of the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to this world. And inshallah, the second thing that I will share with you is a very beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that will further help us understand this. So the first example is Allama Haqqani rahimahullah writes in his tafsir, he says, to understand, and here I am honestly, I am paraphrasing and I have done my best to adapt and to summarize. Otherwise, the example itself goes on for pages and pages. Allama Haqqani rahimahullah says that the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an example of a palace. It's a great palace, it's an amazing palace. And this palace has 12 rooms. This palace has 12 rooms. He writes that the first room is full of kings. Every single individual in this room was a king in the world. And he says, from the likes of Harun Rashid, rahimahullah, the great king of the past of the Abbasid Khilafat, all the way to the great Allama Ghaznawi and Sultan Ghaznawi and Muhammad al-Fatih and Salahuddin Ayyubi, all the way till the present day Islamic kings of the world and the commanders. I said, every single one of them are sat in this one room. And they are all kings themselves. They are kings themselves. However, they are facing a man. And they are sat with respect. And they are sat with longing. And they are sat with love. And a degree of infatuation. And they are waiting. Normally, a person, they wait for the king to give a command. Here the kings are waiting for this man that they have in their hearts, that I wish this man would give me a command so I could carry this command out. Who is this man? This man is none other than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says he moves on to the second room. The second room is full of the philosophers and the rulers of the past. From the old times to the new times, individuals such as Abu Ali al-Sina, in the English world, he's known as the Avicenna. Other individuals include Biruni and Farabi, famous philosophers of the past. Famous intellectuals and thinkers of the past. He says that they are all sat in this room, yet they are not the center of attention. They are facing the front of the room. They are facing a man who they hope to take inspiration from, who they hope to develop new ideas from. Who is this man? This man is none other than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says the third room of this great palace. The third room is full of books. Books written about Islam. Books written on Islamic jurisdiction and Islamic theology. And beyond the books, there are many people. Who are these people? These people are the great jurists of Islam. We look in one corner of this room, we see Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, whose nickname was Imam al-A'zam, the great Imam. We look at another place, we see Imam Malik rahimahullah, Imam Dar al-Hijra, the Imam of Madinatul Munawwara. We look beyond these individuals, we see Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, we see Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, we see Imam Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Shaybani, we see Imam Zufar, we see Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, we see Imam Mullah Ali Qari rahimahullah, we see the great, great imams of the past. Yet, they are looking and facing towards the front. There is a man sat in front of them. They hope to take knowledge from this man, just like they have done so in the past. They understand that they are who they are. They are of the position. They have the respect of the world. Why? Because of this man. This man is none other than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Haqqani rahimahullah goes on. He says the fourth room. He says the fourth room is full of scholars. In some parts of this room, there are muhaddithin, the scholars of hadith. They are discussing the complex sciences of a hadith. in another corner of the room are the Mufassireen, the exegetes of the Qur'an. They are discussing the matters of the Qur'an. We look beyond them. They are the Mu'arikheen, the historians. They are discussing the stories of the Qur'an, the lessons to be learned from the Qur'an. And various other types of scholars, all of them have an obsession for knowledge and are addicted to seeking knowledge. Yet, they were the center of attention in their time. But today, in this palace, in this room, they face forward. They look towards a man, hoping to draw inspiration from him. This man, from his heart, flows a river of knowledge, who, through this knowledge, through this river, all the scholars of hadith and the scholars of fiqh and the scholars of tafsir and the scholars of language and all types of scholars have quenched their thirst for knowledge from the river that runs from the chest of this man. Who is this man? This man is none other than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, in the fifth room, there is a man. He is punishing all the people who committed crimes against humanity and who committed crimes against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, this man is dishing out punishment. The tyrants of the ummah, the great tyrants of the ummah, the great oppressors of the ummah who did zulm, who killed, who murdered the innocent and the children. Today they are facing their comeuppance. Today they are facing the wrath of this man, the anger of this man. Who is this man? This man is none other than our beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today we find our Muslim brothers and sisters are oppressed. Today we find Muslims and non-Muslims alike oppressed and made weak on the earth. A time will come when our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will get that justice for us. We move on to the sixth room. He says, in this room, there are the politicians of the world. They are the lawmakers of the lands. They are all gathered and they're all silent for once. Politicians seem to talk a lot. They have lots of brilliant new ideas. Many of them, you don't even know where they get the ideas from. But today, the lawmakers and the politicians, they are sat in this room and they are quiet. They are worried. They want to develop ideas about how to run kingdoms and countries with peace and successfully, so that the wealth of the world can be divided amongst the nation in such a way that we can all benefit from each other. They are worried about making such rules. Today they are quiet. Why? Because they are in the presence of a man who can give them this knowledge. They are in the presence of a man from whom they have acquired so much and can acquire so much more. They face forward out of love and respect and admiration and reverence for this man. Who is this man? This man is none other than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To further explain that a little bit, if people who have studied law in depth will find that there are many, many laws, 1,000-year-old laws in the Western world and the non-Islamic world, then the origins of these laws are from the Quran, none other than the Quran and Hadith. We look at methods of teaching, methods of leadership. You have all these courses, you know, you have a degree in management skills and a teaching degree. The ideas that are taught in these universities and these colleges to the budding, to the next generation of teachers, they have been taken from the Quran and Hadith. And there are many examples to go with this, but time is less. Our Rasulullah sallallahu, we find through these examples, and I'll explain at the end what the author is trying to say. In the seventh room, there is a man.
He is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He worships Allah day and night. He is a person who does not, for even a second, not even a millisecond, does he disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This man does not waste a single second. He is in the worship and the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all day and all night. This man is known amongst the flocks of people who come to him to spend some time in his company and to benefit from the blessings that are coming down upon him. Even the angels come to down and spend time in the company of this man. Because they know the value of this man. Who is this man? This man is none other than our beloved Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We move on to the eighth room. It says, wherein is a man who has recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than any other human has ever recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. More than any other jinn has recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supposed to have been recognized, through the knowledge that has been blessed upon this man. Libraries full of books have been written upon the knowledge that has come from this man. This man is none other than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We move on to the ninth room. In the ninth room, there is an orator. Orator, a person who does bayans. Yeah, a speaker. He, a muqarrir. He is, through his speech, he is trying to guide people from all over the world. He is worried. To some people, he talks to them about Jannah. He talks to them about the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he understands that these people need to be brought closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through soft talk. To other people, he is harsh. He tells them about Jahannam. He tells them about the adab, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this orator is no ordinary orator. This person, this muqarrid, this person who is doing the bayan, he is not like myself and you. He is a person who has developed a deep understanding of man and women. He understands and he recognizes how to speak to people and the different ways that we can cater for the different personalities and the different characteristics. This man speaks to people in such a way that they immediately start to fall in love with him and they become closer and gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is this muqarrid? Who is this person who does such beautiful speeches? Who is this person who has influenced people over more than 1,000 years, over 15 centuries? Who is this person? This person is none other than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We move on to the 10th room. He says that this man is a person. He is a sheikh. He is a person who is an expert at understanding spiritual diseases. He is a person who recognizes spiritual diseases and provides the correct solution to said diseases. He is a sheikh of the heart. Just like we have the doctors of the body, this person is a doctor of the heart. He recognizes the spiritual diseases that exist within a person and he prescribes them the correct medicine through the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through this avenue, he brings people, helps people fight shaitan and he brings them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is this sheikh? Who is this person? This person is none other than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the 11th room, we have a man. He says his beauty is like no other. He says that the sun and the moon, they become shy in front of this man. The light fades away through the beauty emanating from the light of his cheeks. His face, the world has not graced a man. The world has not been graced by a man more beautiful than this person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put all the beauty of the world into this one man. Remember, Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said that the women of Zulaykha, when they saw Yusuf alayhi salam, they cut their fingers and they did not realize If the women of Zulaykha saw my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would cut their hearts and they would not recognize, they would not realize. This man is such a man, with such beauty. He says, one sahabi says, I came out and it was the Badri moon, the Badri night, there was the 14th moon. And for those of us who have seen, and most of us will have seen, the 14th moon is so beautiful and so big and so shiny and so with such illumination that we can sit there and look at it for hours. He said, I looked at the 14th moon. He said, I saw my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Wallahi, I looked again at the moon. And I looked again at the face of my Nabi alayhi salam. He said, a third time I could not believe my eyes. He said, I looked at the moon again and I looked at Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again. He said, Wallahi, my Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, his face was more illuminated and more shiny than the 14th moon. Allah, Allah, what can we say about the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If one was to go into this topic, you could talk for hours and days and still have more time left to speak about the beauty of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says this man has illuminated the room that he's within. There is nobody more beautiful than him. People from all over the world, from the first man to the last, have heard of his beauty. Some have seen his beauty, some have experienced his beauty. They all flock to him to try and glimpse, just for a second, have a glimpse of this beautiful face. Who is this man? This man is none other than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And finally we move on to the 12th room. This room is the most special of all the rooms. It's the throne room of the Buckingham Palace. Yeah, the most important room. There's no room more important than this room. Who is within this room? We look inside this room. We look on one side, we see Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. We look on the other side, we see Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. We see Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. We see Musa alayhi salam. We see Sulaiman alayhi salam and Dawood alayhi salam. And Nuh alayhi salam, the man who called people to Islam and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for more than 1,000 years. For 950 years, sorry. In the Quran, it says 950 years. We look in one corner of the room, we see Shu'aib alayhi salam and Salih alayhi salam. And we see Lut alayhi salam. And we see all the other prophets alayhi salatu wa salam. But today, they are not looked upon. Today, they are the ones that are looking. Who are they looking towards? They all have their attention towards one man. They understand that they know that this man is better than all of them. تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. They understand that this man is their leader. They understand that this man is the one who, because of him, their existence was established in the history, in the books of history and time. Who is this man? They look towards him with love and respect and reverence. They look towards him for inspiration. They look towards him because this is the man that they have been commanded to tell their people about. They understand that this man is their leader. He was the one who led the salah on the night of Mi'raj in the blessed grounds of Al-Aqsa. He is none other than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Through this example of these 12 rooms, we understand that the influence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam reached every category of importance. From the time of Adam alayhi salam till today. Every category of importance. We're talking about the kings of every zamana. The kings of every era. We're talking about the important people. The intellectual people. The scholars. The philosophers. The thinkers. The intellectual people of every era. This man, they got their intellect. And they got their knowledge. Through Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's go spiritual. The abideen. The people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are who they are because of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The scholars, the jurists of history, because of whose effort today we have knowledge, today we have the Quran compiled in front of us, today we sit in a Western country in a masjid. It's because of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His influence sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached every corner of the world. And it has, inshallah, it will reach every corner of our hearts. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. And through these examples we understand that it was not just one man in one era. in one small city. It was a man whose influence reached the entire realm of time, and it's still difficult to fathom the influence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Moving on, we go back again. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, and we elevated your name for you. And I'm going to just mention this one hadith and we will finish. You know, sometimes when we have programs and we have big, you know, graduation ceremonies, and there is a special guest of honor. And normally they come at the end, and when they walk into the Jama'khana and everyone's moving out of the way and they come with a presence, there's a whole group of people behind them, there's guards, and everyone moves out of the way. And when they sit on the chair, everyone's quiet and everyone is hanging on to every word. And during these moments, we feel that greatness within our heart. We feel that respect for them. And we think, wow, such an amazing scene. You know, everyone's moving out of the way. When you go to Haram, we go to Makkah al-Mukarramah, Madinah al-Munawwarah, and the Imam enters, you know, everyone's moving out of the way, Sheikh. And everyone's gone quiet the time he's standing forward. You know, we feel that respect, we feel that honor. I'm going to explain this hadith and try to imagine that we have these worldly ceremonies. We have these ceremonies in the world where there's maybe 1,000 people, 2,000 people. You can take it to Haram Sharif, there's 1 million people, 2 million people, 4 million people. How many people? And everyone is waiting for this one man. My Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says in a hadith that Ana Sayyid ibn Adam yawm al-qiyamah wala fakhra. And the hadith goes on and he says that I will be on the day of Qiyamah the leader of all of mankind. And he says that I'm not having any pride in this. It's the reality. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to explain that on the day of Qiyamah the people will be in a state of fear and fright, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be in a state of great anger, such anger that Allah will have never been this angry before. And the people will have been made to wait for a prolonged period of time, after which they will go to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, and they will say to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam that, oh Adam, you know, you are the first creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go to Allah and intercede on our behalf. Tell Allah to proceed with the proceedings of the day of Qiyamah. We are struggling. Allah has made us wait for so long. And he will say that, no, I can't do this. I made a mistake. I ate from the forbidden tree. I cannot do this. Idhabu ila ghayri. Go to somebody else besides. Go to Nuh alayhi salam. And then they will approach Nuh alayhi salam and they will say a similar thing. And Nuh alayhi salam will say, no, I cannot do this. So move to somebody else. Go to somebody else. And as far as I remember in the hadith of Nuh alayhi salam, he'll say, he mentioned about the verse when he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, you know, you about his son, when Allah he said that I will save you and your family, and then his son didn't become a Muslim, so he drowned in the flood. So this complaint, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sort of admonishes Nuh alayhi salam, la tas'alni ma laysa laka bihi ilm. So, as far as I remember, Nuh alayhi salam mentions this and it moves on. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, and he says, idhabu ila ghayr, go to somebody else. Go to Musa alayhi salam. Go to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam says that, no, I cannot do this. And he mentions a few things. And then he says, go to somebody else. Go to Musa alayhi salam. And like this, each prophet, and we've got to understand that who is Ibrahim alayhi salam? Who is Nuh alayhi salam? They are great, great Anbiya alayhi salam. They are the chosen ones. They were prophets in their own right. But today, on this day, on the day of Qiyamah, though, never mind 1 million people, 2 million people, the entire humanity will be there. The entire creation will be there. The jinnat and the humans that have been created from the beginning of time, every single human will be present. And today is the day, it's the day of Qiyamah, it's the day of reckoning. Allah is angry like He's never been angry before. The people are suffering like they've never suffered before. And it's a culmination of the events of the world that today. And then Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam will say, go to Musa alayhi salam. And Musa alayhi salam will say, no, you know, he'll mention something, he'll mention about the Qibti that he mistakenly killed. Go to somebody else beside, go to Isa alayhi salam. And then finally the people will come to Isa alayhi salam and they'll have gone to all the prophets and Isa alayhi salam will say, no, I cannot do this. Go to somebody else beside me, go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will be approached. Our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will stand and he will go and to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will fall into sajda. And he says that at that time I will praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with such words that Allah has never been praised before. And these words Allah will teach me them. And I will praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through these words. And as I am praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the anger of Allah will start to cool. The anger of Allah, such anger that no one could deal with. No one had the audacity to even try and approach this problem with a solution. Because this anger was too magnificent. It was anger that such anger had never been seen before. But it was the maqam-e-mahmood of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Asa an yab'athaka rabbuka maqaman mahmooda. It was this status that was specifically and specially reserved for none other than the greatest of all mankind, the greatest of all, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that after a certain period of time of praising, only Allah knows how long this period will be. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُمْ يَا مُحَمَّدْ سَلْ تُعْطَعْ وَشْفَعْ تُشَفَّعْ. Stand, ask, O Muhammad, ask, you will be given. Intercede, your intercession will be accepted on this day. None other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the greatest of all today in this world, in the dunya, in the akhirah, in Jannah. My Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will stand at the top of the bunch. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My respected brothers and elders, no other love will help us in the dunya and the akhirah. It is the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and no other love, nothing else that can help us. It is the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that will help us, full stop. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah to open up our hearts just like He opened up the heart of my Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, so that the love of Allah and His Rasul can flood into every corner and every niche of this, of our hearts. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to become punctual with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us and to give us tawfiq to live such a life that when we meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the akhirah, my Nabi alayhi salam will be happy for us and he will be happy with us and he will be happy to see us and he will embrace us. And that is what we want. Because if that happens to us, then all the other tests have been passed. If Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is happy with us tomorrow, then we've got nothing else to worry about. If we are with his group, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we are close to sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we are with sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah, we will have no issues. We will be with where we are supposed to be. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to drink from the kawthar. Inna ta'ina kal kawthar, the kawthar of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with the opportunity to not only drink from this blessed water, but to also help Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stand next to him and give to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.